Hi there, welcome to Victim to Victor, the podcast dedicated to empowering abuse survivors and inspiring healing, hope and positive change. I'm Anu Verma, a published author, and in every episode I'll sit down with a guest and embark on an insightful conversation about trauma as well as practical strategies to start the healing process. So let's get started. I hope you enjoy the show. In today's show, I have Amy Boswinkle. Amy found her way out of the darkness and into the light when debilitating trauma, PTSD, and addictions took over her life, and she couldn't find reprieve from conventional healthcare or therapies. For years, Amy suffered from the shame of childhood sexual assault, which led her down the path of alcoholism, drug addiction, and various eating disorders. One day she woke up facing the possibility of spending a year in jail after she received her third driving conviction. So she decided something really had to change. She took matters into her own hands and studied the human body until she was able to heal herself through nutrition and alternative health, including energy medicine, when all hope seemed lost. Today, Amy touches the hearts and lives of people suffering from trauma, PTSD, and addictions to create peace and power in their mind so they find it in their life. And here is our wonderful Amy Boswinkle, all the way from Indiana. So lovely to have you on, Amy. Thank you so much. And, you know, I said it before and I'll say it again. I absolutely adore your energy and I really cannot wait to find out more about you. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing well. Thank you so much, Anu. And I am so incredibly excited to have this conversation with you and your community. So thank you so much for this opportunity.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure. But it'd be great for you to just kind of give a bit of an insight about yourself, you know, where you've come from, what journey you've been on, and, you know, what makes you you today.
Yeah, absolutely. So I grew up in the 70s and I was born into a home of neglect and abuse. I didn't really understand that when I was young. I just knew things. I had to take care of a lot of things. But what there's two different memories that come to mind whenever I think back to the as far back as I can think of in my memory bank. And one memory is of my great grandmother who had cancer and she was passing away, and I was able to connect to an angel and just kind of walk her through her transition and share information with her around where she was going to be going so that she wasn't so scared. I was about 3 years old at that time. And then also right around the same time is my first memory of being sexually abused by a family member. And that abuse occurred for about 6 years that I can remember. And I was told to never tell or nobody would love me anymore. And that really affected me. I was three, you know, I was 3 years old and I get told that if I ever told anybody, nobody would love me anymore. And I lost my voice. And I grew up being afraid to talk to my parents. I grew up being afraid to talk to my teachers. I grew up being afraid to talk to anybody. In fact, so much so I really had a hard time looking people in the eye, and I carried a lot of shame and guilt around that. And when I went to school in first grade, my teacher, you know, she would ask me questions and I would just literally look at her and be so paralyzed by fear that I couldn't, you know, share anything back. So it was assumed that I was a special needs student. And so I was sent to the special needs classroom, and I wasn't told this, right? It was just kind of the actions around me. I thought I was stupid. I thought that I wasn't good enough, right? And it was quickly learned when I was in the special needs classroom. I kind of flourished there because there were much less students and they needed guidance. And I think that's the first time in my life I also understood that I absolutely loved helping people. I absolutely had this like really giving heart, and I just loved to help people I saw who kind of needed something. But the teachers knew that I didn't belong there. And so they sent me back into the regular classroom, and I was just kind of sent to the, like they had levels. There was like, level one, level two, level three. And like level three was for like the slow learners. Right. And so I was put into that level three, and I just really stuck with the story of I was stupid, and somehow I attached that I was ugly and I was fat to that. Like, so I had this continual story running through my head that I was stupid, I was fat, I was ugly, I was unworthy, nobody could love me, it was unsafe to trust other humans. And then also at home at the same time, my mother was a prescription opiate addict, and I didn't understand that. And I never knew what version of her I was going to get, the version who slept for weeks and weeks on end, or the version of her who had manic episodes and depressive episodes because she was bipolar as well. And she would be just kind of wired and up and awake and just different, you know, just she didn't have a lot of patience. And I quickly also learned that, you know, my mother was unreliable. My dad was in the picture, but he worked all the time. We really didn't have a lot of money, although we should have. Both when my mother could work, her profession by choice was a nurse, and my dad worked in the oil refineries in here in the state of Indiana that pays a pretty decent wage. So by all means, we should have had a decent amount of money, yet, you know, because of my mom's addiction, we didn't have money, and we had the utilities being shut off, and we didn't always have food all the time. And I quickly learned that I had to grow up really fast and take care of my younger brother, which really was a blessing in disguise. It gave me a job. And my brother is a wonderful, I could talk about him for the whole episode, but he's a wonderful human being. And without him, I don't think that I would be here on this planet. So I'm so grateful that the universe granted me, you know, that gift of what I thought I was, you know, growing up and becoming the mother and making sure his needs were met. And, you know, also at the same time, putting my needs to the side and like they didn't matter. I didn't really click in. I did have friends in school. I'm not going to say that I didn't, but I didn't feel like I fit in. I felt like an outsider all of the time. I suffered from tons and tons and tons of anxiety. And like I said, it was a chore to really kind of talk with people. And I carried that all the way through. I did graduate, and I was accepted to college. And it was in college where I opened up for the first time. I went to college away from my home by about a little more than 3 hours away from home. So it was just far enough away that my parents couldn't really have control over everything that I did, but close enough that if I wanted to go home, I could. And it was there that I became a full-time student. I also, because my parents really didn't have a lot of money, and my parents really were accepting of me wanting to go there, but they told me that they couldn't really help me pay for to be there. So I knew I had to have a job. So I was a full-time student. I worked a full-time job, and I also became a full-time alcoholic and drug addict. It was there that I opened my world to alcohol and to drugs, and I learned that the pain of anxiety and the pain of not good enough and the pain of stupid and the pain of all of the, you know, the abuse and the guilt and the shame that was connected to that could be numbed out by alcohol and drugs. And I had a really strong drive. I was able to continue going to my classes, working a full-time job. graduating from college. But after I graduated, I started a downward spiral of drinking and using drugs more, and I became incredibly suicidal. And in time, I progressed into using IV heroin, and I hung out with gang members. I would travel to the projects of Chicago every night to buy dope. And, you know, I started to decline very quickly. The people who were good friends didn't want to be around me anymore. My family members really didn't want to have anything to do with me because I was completely and totally unreliable and, you know, just kind of led this not a very good, kind and human life, you know, which was really against who I really was. But I was so lost, and I did not want to live. I know that. Like, I really did not want to live. I was so sad, and I was so distraught by this life, and I just did not know how to manage me. And in all of that, I ended up getting a total of 3 DUIs, and I had my license taken away. And after my 3rd DUI, I was actually looking at spending a year in jail and losing my driver's license for the rest of my life. And I, a few years prior to that, maybe a handful of years prior to that, knew that I had a problem, even though everyone around me tried to address that. They did the interventions, and they did the kind talks, and they did the not so kind talks, and, you know, like, it just didn't work because I just wasn't accepting of that. I realized that I did have a problem. So I tried the conventional approaches. You know, I tried the AA and the NA and the therapy and the prescription medications. I was diagnosed with borderline personality disorder, high anxiety disorder, and like major depression and all of that. I suffered with my health, digestive issues and bleeding ulcers and all sorts of, you know, different ailments. And inpatient treatments, like the inpatient, like detox centers, and then the outpatient. And, you know, I'm not saying that those things didn't work, because I know that, like, there were parts that really sunk in and did help me, but it wasn't the answer for me. And I didn't know what else to do. So here I am, suicidal. I crashed my car into a telephone pole. I lose my job. I don't want to live. I have no friends. I have my family who's turned their back on me, rightfully so. Looking at spending a year in jail. And my parents, out of the kindness of their heart, decide to let me back into their home one last time under the condition that I had to have a job until I was going to go to court and get my sentence. So 3 blocks from my parents' house is a health food store that I got hired at. And that literally saved my life. It was there that I studied the human body nonstop: biology, chemistry, physiology, anatomy, energy, energy medicine, energetics, medical intuition, all of those things, until I understood the human body and what was going on with me. And I healed myself at the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual level, created a 5-step approach, which I am an author for, to help people with reversing lifestyle dis-ease. I call it dis-ease because I'm not a doctor. I can't call it disease, right? So yeah. Dis-ease. And I worked at that health food store for 12 and a half years, and I taught everyone who would listen, like when they came in, like I just, from the heart, when I would just listen to what was going on with them. And because I was my own guinea pig, and I tried the different supplements and the different healing techniques and the different alternative modalities, you know, I would share from the heart what I thought and what my perception was. And I just did my best to educate people to the best of my ability during that time. Then that led me to, people started to, in all of my years of working there, people started to buy supplements online. You know, there was, you know, like the age of the internet is born, and people are they're Google searching, and they're, you know, Amazon is born, and all these really amazing places that we can go and buy supplements. And they're, you know, a little cheaper. And so, you know, the amount of people coming in and buying things from the health food store, there was a little bit of decline in the money. And so the owner was just, you know, always expressing maybe sometime in the future, she didn't say we were going to, I might not be able to give everybody the exact amount of hours or, you know, all of those things. So my head started to click because I had bills to pay, you know, and I couldn't really lose any hours. And my job was not threatened in any way, shape, or form. But I was like, well, I better look into something just in case. And I was not an internet person. I was not a social media person. I was a very, like, I like to read books. I like to hang out in nature. I like to exercise kind of person. And I was kind of forced to start looking on the internet. And I ran across this thing called health coaching. And it sounded really amazing to me. And I ended up going to this school called Health Coach Institute, which took everything that I had learned to a completely different level, to where what I call I had my awakening. And I started to recognize, because even though I had learned how to heal myself and I helped other people, I still lived in shame and I still lived in guilt. I still didn't have a voice. I was ashamed of my story. I was ashamed of the things that I had done. And at that school, I remember something so profound. There's a series of events that happened, but something really profound that one of the mentors told me. And she said, your story is your most powerful tool.
Wow.
And something shifted in me. And I thought, I live in a society that told me I was never going to amount to anything. I live in a society that told me that I was a degenerate. I live in a society that tells me I'm a nothing. And I hid that from all my coworkers, didn't know my story. Maybe two or three of them did, but you know, not all of them did, right? And so that I was like, oh my gosh, I have a story. Uh-huh. I have a story, and you're telling me that my story will help people? I'm in. Yeah.
How many years had you been hiding your story?
I think at that point it was about 10 years.
Wow. Okay. Wow. Yeah. And so what age would you say that you had your awakening?
I was 40.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It tends to be around that time that is quite common for people to actually wake up and realize that, hang on a minute, what happened to me when I was 3 years old, it wasn't okay. And I don't need to suffer anymore. Yeah. Wow. So tell us about your healing journey. I mean, so you obviously saw a therapist and you had your coach. And so what worked best for you?
Yeah. So I don't discount any single part of my journey. I feel like therapy for me was a place that I went and I was kind of talked at. And I was able to share, but it didn't get to the like heart of the matter, which what I've realized now, the root cause is the stuck, repressed emotion that we don't necessarily know how to deal with, right? And the emotion creates these stories and thoughts in our mind, and we become repetitive, like in a sense, versions of ourselves. We wake up being the person who we were yesterday and the day before that and the day before that and the day before that, because that's what the subconscious mind tells us is safe. Right. So it was in my health coaching school that I was asked what I call more clarifying questions. They weren't questions that were like, why, Why do you think this is occurring? Why do you think you feel this way? Which is really just targeting the prefrontal cortex part of the brain, which is answering the question why, but not really delving into the subconscious mind and the emotions and things like that. Whereas at my health coaching school, I was taught, to ask questions that targeted the cerebellum part of the brain. And those came from beginning with what or how or when. And it allowed me to kind of dig into these pieces and parts of me that I hadn't explored before. And there was something in that, and being able to travel into my own subconscious mind, my own feelings, and release the stuck, repressed emotions that were preventing me from being my best self. And once I was able to bring to the surface, who I'm actually being is shame, who I'm actually being is guilt, who I'm actually being is fear, who I'm actually being is, like this little three-year-old girl who has done her best to protect me, and I love her for it, she did an amazing job from age 3 all the way to age 40, and honoring her and loving her and, showing her the love and respect, that she deserves. And delving into those spaces, which I personally call like the root causes of what people stuck and unable to move forward, I was able to understand what keeps other people stuck, what keeps them stuck in the repetitive patterns, what keeps them stuck in their trauma spaces, their PTSD, right? Like the addictions, and not just like addictions. Like what I've come to realize is there's a lot of different ways to look at addictions, right? Like addictions can be to alcohol and drugs and cigarettes and food and all of this, but really it all boils down to the addiction to our thoughts. Like these thoughts that we keep having over and over, and that the greatest addiction on this planet, in my opinion, is the addiction to the mind and the emotions that are fueling the thoughts that we're having. So being able to help people understand that and then work through that and then, right, like transform and have them become the person on this planet that they were always meant to be, just really lit up my soul and helped me to understand what my mission and my purpose really was on this planet.
Wow. So what was your journey from then? I mean, you're obviously working with clients now, but you've also written books and you've starred on other podcasts. You've also been on TV. So much. The universe has thrown all this at you. How do you manage? How do you cope?
That's the thing is like, my coaches were always like, you have to be willing to look fear in the eyes. You have to be willing to look fear in the eyes. And is this fear like real? Like a lion's chasing, it feels real, of course, right? Like fear feels so real, but is it like, am I really going to die if I start sharing my story? Am I really going to die if I speak on this podcast? Am I really going to, and really retraining my subconscious mind? Because really that primal part of the brain is about fight or flight. It's about life or death. And people who have experienced trauma in their life, they're stuck in those trauma spaces, and all their brain and their nervous system is trying to do is keep them safe. Right? So it cocoons us. And I was stuck in that cocoon of shame and guilt and fear, and learning to find my voice was not an easy journey. I had to learn to become uncomfortable. And when I could hold the discomfort of fear, like the universe allowed me to expand into my next level of consciousness, because it like I really wasn't going to die by talking to people. I really wasn't going to die by publicly speaking. I really wasn't going to die by being on the podcasts. I really wasn't going to die by writing the book, right? Like, but it feels so real to our nervous system because those trauma responses just want to keep us loved, safe. They want us to feel like we belong. So they create these really protective bubbles, and subconsciously, right, the nervous system is loading up all kinds of adrenaline responses and cortisol responses from the adrenal glands and, you know, fight or flight, live or die. And anything scary feels like death, right? And it's not like that's the story we're being told. It's just the nervous system is feeling this feeling, and the brain is like, protect her, protect her, protect her, protect him, protect him, protect, yeah, you know, like, okay, protect, yeah, that person. And absolutely. So I, you know, like, there's no way I could have arrived to where I am today, number one, without mentorship, and number two, without being willing to sit in the discomfort of facing my fears, of telling the story, of writing the chapter in the book, of, you know, doing all of this. And it was uncomfortable because I had to retrain myself to become a completely different person.
Yeah. And that takes courage and it takes patience. But I know with a lot of us, you know, well, in my case in particular, for me, it was just fear of judgment, fear of, oh no, what will people think? What would people say? You know, and it's just like you said, shame. You know, we blame ourselves, don't we? We think, oh no, it was all my fault, all of these bad things that happened to me. Yeah, so it is like you said, it's about overcoming those fears. And so how do you do this then? So in terms of the tools that you use with your clients, how do you overcome fear?
So what has really helped me a lot to tap into like my soul or my inner self so that I am operating from my highest version self instead of my traumatized self is journaling. And so I also personally found that utilizing NLP sequences, so neuro-linguistic programming sequences, are really useful. So it, you know, once I understood that, you know, what my health coaching school was really teaching us was NLP, I decided to go and become a certified master level NLP practitioner. So it, you know, and I led myself through that process first and helped myself work through those different sequences, being my own guinea pig first, because integrity and being someone who can provide results to people is really important to me. I don't want to be, you know, working with people if I haven't tested the waters, so to speak, first. And in saying that, I also understand that everybody finds the route that works for them along the way, right? Like the people that the universe has granted to come into my world, similar tools are useful for them as well. And that there are many tools on this planet. And I think that there, it's really amazing that we have so many tools. So NLP is something that I use with my clients, somatic work. I am a certified Reiki master teacher. So tapping into energetics and also my skill set as a medical intuitive. So understanding that stored, repressed emotions get stuck in the chakras, and that stuck, repressed emotion is connected to a timeline inside of the person. Like it happened between birth and age 7, right? Then we're dealing with root chakra issues, or it happened between ages 7 and 14. So now we're dealing with sacral chakra issues, right? And like also understanding, you know, if the client can't get there themselves, like being able to listen to the like physical things that they're talking about. I have a lot of anxiety. I don't sleep very well. I have thyroid issues. I'm experiencing hormonal imbalance, or I have high blood pressure, right? Because all of that is connected into the chakras as well, like an understanding where the imbalance is in their endocrine system, and helping them be able to balance that through, you know, if they're open to it, I can recommend supplements. I always ask people first if they're open to that. And also like helping them energetically work through that through timeline practices and evolving like emotional intelligence as well.
Wow. Yeah. So that's a lot of tools that you use there. And yes, NLP is a fantastic, it's a fantastic discipline to learn. And that's something that I've also learned along the way. But, and a lot of it was on the back end of Tony Robbins, because that's what he started with. Yeah. Oh, wow. No, but I love that. I love the fact that, coaching really helped you. And I know that therapy and counseling is really, that's kind of like, the number one treatment for trauma and PTSD. Whereas like with coaching, a lot of results can be achieved quite fast, can't they? Faster than therapy. And I know that, there's a bit of a controversy going on there. But, I guess it depends on, like you said, it depends on your own experience as a coach, and it depends on the tools and skills that you've learned during your trainings. And for me, I believe that, in order for an actual therapist to heal someone who's traumatic, then I think it really helps when they've been through the same and experience results from whatever technique that they're going to be using. And you are a walking example of that, aren't you? A walking example of your work. Tried and tested. And it worked.
Exactly. Yes.
Oh, amazing. So what are you doing these days now? So is it just the one-on-one sessions that you're doing? And you're doing courses as well, aren't you? You've got a course.
Yeah. So I originally started as a health coach, and not the health coach that helped you determine what right foods were for you. Really, it was more about helping people persevere through this ease and lifestyle ailments. And that kind of led me down the trail of helping people overcome trauma, PTSD, and addictions. And now where I stand is as an intuitive business coach, helping other entrepreneurs, spiritual entrepreneurs who have experienced traumas in their life and have overcome, create a business, a soul-led business, by helping other human beings transform, heal, and be able to stand within peace within themselves. So how I utilize that now is I have what I call quantum alignment sessions. So these are really fast paced for somebody who has already done quite a level of work and is really looking for a fast transformation that's going to collapse timelines, heal DNA, create healthy DNA, and then activate dormant DNA in the body so that they can continue on with their leadership of their communities and helping to create the impact and the change for the people that they're here for. I also work with people one-to-one, and then I also have a mastermind called the Fierce and Fearless Mastermind for intuitive business owners as well, who are here to just continue to create impact and spread their reach across the planet.
Amazing. And so in a lot of this work, do you find that a lot of your clients have undergone trauma? Is it common amongst majority of people?
Yeah, the answer to that is yes. Mm. And like what I can say to that in my experience, right? Like when we're called to this work, I really feel the universe creates soul-aligned people to come in to our world, and they can only be versions of us. You know, so I feel like I'm always calling versions of Amy Boswinkle into, you know, into my world. Like I can always see now, because I've worked with enough clients, like I can really, I have resonance with that. I have resonance with that. I have resonance with it. Right. Like,
I get
so
it.
It's almost, So it's like, I'm always yes, it's for the client. Right. But there's this beautiful energetic exchange where it's like a mirror and a reflection where, you know, I reciprocate and receive healing in the process too. And it's just, it's the most wonderful job. Like truly, I get teary eyed. I'm like, the person I once was versus the person I am today and the work that I get to do in the world. I mean, there's so much gratitude. There's so much gratitude.
I sense that, Amy. Wow. I just think it's amazing the journey that you've been on. You have been through everything in terms of, you know, any trauma, you know, any, like in terms of your addiction as well. I just can't believe that how you just fought through and became the woman that you are today, now helping so many people and healing the world. And I just think it's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Thank you so much, Anu. And truly, you know, thank you, because you are too. These conversations are so important, and you are such a gift to us.
Wow.
So thank you.
Thank you
for the work you do too, and allowing us to share our voice, because your heart loves us so much. So I really appreciate you and the work you're doing too.
Thank you so much. Wow, I'm touched. Ooh. So yeah, how can my listeners connect with you?
Oh, yeah, I would absolutely. If you guys do social media, I am on Facebook and Instagram at Amy Boswinkle. Amy is spelled A-M-I-E-E, B-O-S-W-I-N-K-L-E. I also have a website, connectionsrestored.com, and email, if you want to email me, A-M-I-K-B-O-Z at yahoo.com. And if you're on social media and you connect with me there, you can always shoot me a DM. I love talking to people. Like, truly, please know that about me. I'm not the person who, you know, pushes you to the back end. And I'm the person who's like, come on, I'm so excited to connect with you. Let's talk for a minute. What's going on?
Oh, you are. I've seen your social media presence. Everyone loves you. And I know why. It's because your energy is just amazing. And you know why? This is why I love doing what I'm doing. It's because I get to meet amazing beings like you. And, you know, and friends for life, right? It's the way that we're all going to be connecting, the whole world's connecting, and all of us who have gone through a similar journey, you know, in alignment, we're all just becoming sisters and brothers. And I love that. I just think, you know, that's what it's about. It's not about being stuck on your own anymore in isolation, which as a survivor, you know, we all were at one point. So, and this is why podcasts are a fantastic platform to really share each other's stories and to give other survivors hope that, you know, that there is light at the end of this darkness, and, you know, you don't need to struggle alone. So please do, my listeners, please do get in touch with Amy. She's an absolute shining light, and you will absolutely adore her and love her. So connect with her on the socials. I will leave all of the links in this description box for you all. And yeah, anyone who chooses to work with you will be blessed as well. And I can already see just, you know, the fantastic work that you're doing and just how effective it really is. So keep at it, girl.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. So that's all we've got time for today, my lovely listeners. So I hope you enjoyed that episode with Amy Boswinkle. And please do get in touch if you have any questions about this episode. And yeah, we will see you in the next episode. Until then, take care. Keep shining your light, my lovelies.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of Victim to Victor. Subscribe so you don't miss out on new episodes. And be sure to follow the podcast on socials to keep updated on what's next and share Victim to Victor with family and friends to help grow the community and spread the positive healing energy.